Looks good in here, doesn't it? Looks real good. Joe said it's feminine. So, but women picked it out, so. And the women's got to be happy if the women picked it out. I guess us men would have it orange. Or
pink.
Men pink? Pink. Wow. Brother,
it's new era. I'm polite. My wife's
a yeah. You want to teach Sunday school, woman? Anyway, our brother Mike did a good job. You pray for him because his ex-wife passed away. I went to see her. She passed away, and the kids, they were kind of they went through a divorce and all that stuff, and the kids were kind of bitter at him, and he's trying to get a relationship back. But they asked me. I didn't think they were going to ask me to do the funeral, but they asked me. I went up to see him, and then when they went in the other room, and I walked in the room with them and just said goodbye, and I said, look, you do what your mama want, and don't worry about me or anything. But it happened to be a lady there that came in that used to come to the church here when she was a kid. She said she used to come with her aunt, and that was a blessing. And so I got a call from the funeral home. Tuesday night, we're going to have a funeral up there in Ferris Funeral Home. And then I was talking to Ronnie last night, and his father passed away on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. I asked him, I said, your dad's saved? He said, I don't think so. So that's going to be a tough one for him. So y'all pray for these funerals coming up this week, and plus we're trying to get all this stuff done for the ladies' meeting. And a lot going on, man. Just a lot. It seems like every time it gets a lot going on. Just every time you turn around, something going on. So let's pray for it. And let's take your Bibles this morning, turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I preached at Tuesday, I preached at Thursday? No, it was Thursday. I went down and preached at the Teen Challenge, and it really was no teenagers there. It was all men. And they had families there, so I preached to them. And it was kind of funny. Mike Collins went with me, and they had, when we walked in, they were practicing. They had a band. And they had a band going and the drums, and they got a plexiglass around the drums, and the guy was up there jamming. I'm ringing, Jesse. Stop playing with it. And they had the guy with the guitar, and they were standing there. And Mike says, you know, you always make fun of the way they do it. And he said, that's exactly what they were doing. They were up there, you know, dancing around. And so when the service started, everybody got into it, and everybody's dancing around. Yeah, I stood in the back. They had a front row seat for me, and I got up and went in the back, stood in the back, and waited. And Mike sat up there. It was funny watching Mike Collins. He's going like this. They were all dancing around, everybody, you know, doing this and doing all that. And Mike was like this. He was like trying to. he felt like a fish out of water, man. And he said, "You left me up there by myself." I said, "Well, I didn't want to be up there." But anyway, when time to preaching, all those guys got so stirred up. And when I preached a condensed message on the three chairs, and I was going to preach on discipleship, and then I preached a condensed message on that three chairs and just preached that. And those guys got so stirred up, and they were back there talking to me, coming back to me, calling to Mike. They we haven't heard preaching. They're supposed to be like 5 days a week. They get Bible all day long. But they got new Bibles, they got the rock music, they got all that stuff. Mike and I was riding up the road, we said, man, it would be good to have something like that for the men's, to help the guys with drugs and all that stuff, to help them get off drugs. It's going to take something to do that. All right, Philippians chapter 3, I think we stopped around verse 10. Philippians 3:10, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And to get to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection is going to cost you something. Always will, always, always has. It's going to cost you to get to know him. And a lot of people say, well, I want to know God in a real way. I want to know God. I want to know him. And God wants you to know him. But you might as well make up your mind. It's going to cost you something.
Amen.
And a lot of people think that, you know, we live in a society today, we want everything free, we want everything quick, we want everything easy.
That's right.
That's the way we live. And we want everything just to hand it to us. And that's why I was preaching about down there. I said, you know, what happens is our society, the kids raised now, they want everything. I said, who in the world would have thought that Bernie Sanders would have been a presidential candidate and with all the crowds that he had? Who in the world would have thought? You know why? Bernie Sanders promised them everything, anything free. And the kids, they're like, they're not stupid. Okay, yeah, you go give me free college. You're going to give me free this. You're going to give me free that. Yeah, I'll take it. So that's why I said, and he's a socialist. And they care less what he was. Made no difference. The guy, that shows you, well, when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to promise everything, and everybody's going to go for it. They're going, and, you know, Donald Trump's doing the same thing, so is Hillary. So who, you know, with Hillary, well, you know you got what you get, but then with Donald, it could be 50-50. You know, you could get good and be bad. But I thought, who in the world would have thought that the socialists in America, and you know why? As Doc always told us this, he said, what men learn from history is that they never learn from history. And you go back 40, 50 years, you find out what socialism is. And what it was, and what it is now. I mean, and it's just control. And what it sounds good. We're going to make the rich pay more. That sounds good. We're going to make them pay more. And you know, what it is, now I heard that Hillary is saying, she said in a speech, she said, we're going to make it mandatory that they have to pay so much. They're going to make it mandatory. So then what happens is socialism, that becomes into communism, and it takes over. And he says, but talking about the Lord, talking about resurrection power and all that, and what happens if America, we get where it comes down to where they, you know, they start controlling the churches and what they're trying to do and try to control more and more. And you go to the bank now, they are trying to control more and more. They want to know where the money is, what's going on with it. And it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost us something to serve God. And people, they think that it's going to be easy just to go on and serve the Lord. Everything has to be easy. If it's easy, I'll serve him. But if I am not going to serve him. That's the way this society is. And serving God, sometimes you got to go through trials. You got to go through troubles. And Paul went through it. And I mean, like I said before, can you imagine if God showed you what you were going to have to go through after you got saved? He did that to Paul and showed Paul. And Paul said, okay, that's all right. That's all right, Lord. I'll do it. And that's why Paul never got married. When you have getting married, you got to look at the Bible says a man has to look at things for his wife and his family, take care of them. That I may know him and the power of his I'm not telling you get divorced now. I'm not saying, okay, get rid of get divorced. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering. We say amen to it. I may know him. Amen. The power of his resurrection. Yeah. The fellowship of his suffering. What? And suffering is the daily things you bear, you go through, being made conformable unto his death. So the Lord's preparing you to die. He's preparing you to die to yourself. Amen. And the things you go through has prepared you to die to yourself. My wants, what I want in my life, and what happens is we're so selfish, we want everything for me. Right. Make me happy. Amen. Satisfy me. Me. And we're teaching our kids that. I remember when Samson was having birthday parties for Israel, when Israel was just born, everybody was going there, and man, and they had presents stacked up that high. And I said, I took Samson, I said, son, you need to stop this. Amen. He said, Dad, he said, I'm not doing it. Everybody else is doing it. I said, tell them, don't bring nothing. Amen. Don't bring nothing. He said, that's your grandchild. Yeah, but I don't want my grandkid to expect everything all the time. Now I bought a car from my granddaughter, but I'm not gonna just give it to her. She's gonna, you know, I'm a teacher and trainer, and now I'm gonna say you're gonna have to pass it down. It's gonna be passed down. People, I hate the hand-me-downs. Well, it's gonna be a hand-me-down. Or you don't do nothing, amen. But we grandparents seem to spoil the grandkids. You say why? Because we can. But I don't want to spoil them. I want to thank God, I mean, and teach them and train them, even though now you're, as a grandparent, you're able to do things that you couldn't do when you were a parent. And you didn't have the stuff for your kids. But he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that being conformed on his death. And that's what we're supposed to be preparing for, to die, and to die to ourselves. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That thing? It's not saying Christianity is a dead religion. It's not saying that. is saying Christianity is a living organism, living in Jesus Christ is the greatest life there is. I mean, he wants you to live, but he wants you to die to yourself in the flesh. Your flesh is always trying to control us. It's what we eat, and how we eat, how much we eat, what we do, and how we feel. And people are taking pills to try to feel better. That's our society. They're trying to make themselves feel better all the time and be up. And I'm up when I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord and having fellowship with him and being busy about his work. I tell you what, that really encourages me. Being made conformable on his death, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Paul's saying, I haven't arrived. I have not arrived. Nobody has arrived. Nobody's got it down packed. Like, okay, if you want to see a good example of what a Christian ought to be, just follow me. Yeah. No, man. That ain't what he's saying. He's saying, but I tell you what, but there's one person you could follow in the Word of God, and that's Paul. Amen. I mean, Paul wrote 13 books, but he still had anger problem. He still got mad. He still had those things. We all do. We got to work on. And Paul got mad at Barnabas. But then at the end of his, near the end of his life, he said, bring John Mark. He said, he's profitable to me. Bring him. As you grow in this Christian life, you should be getting better, not worse.
Amen, preacher.
You should be getting more where you know what's, you know, the Bible says, cursed be he that holdeth back his sword from blood. When I was in Bible school, man, we were just slinging that sword, just cutting everybody up, even cutting ourselves. But as you grow in the Lord, you learn when to pull the sword out, when to deal with the word, you know, somebody with the Word of God, and the Word of God helps them. You want to help people. When I was in Bible school, guys come out of Bible school, we just wanted to sling it at each other and brag on what we were doing and how much we did, how much blood we drew. But as you get older and you start saying, hey, man, I've seen enough casualties. I've seen enough people fall. I've seen enough people destroyed. Now, this guy that's running this teen challenge, I didn't go down there and try to rebuke them. I didn't do that. I went down there and I sat with the guy, and the guy's a good guy. He's straight on salvation. I don't agree with his doctrine or about what he believes. He's probably charismatic. They invited me, so I preached on the three chairs. I preached about, you know, the generations. And that guy, he was telling his testimony to me. And he's my age, same age. And the guy was drugs and all that stuff and got right God. He was living under a bridge. And what I wanted to do is I said, Lord, help me help him and enlighten him some more and be able to show him some truths from the Word of God. He's doing a good work there. And but anyway, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to try to help a brother in Christ. And if they reject the truth, they reject what you show them, then that's all right. Man, we'll move on. He says, not as though I had already attained, neither were made already perfect, but I follow after that that I may apprehend, for that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ apprehended us for a reason. And he said that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. And you ought to find out, Bob Jones Sr., you say, blessed is a man that finds the will of God, or the woman finds the will of God and does it. And has a nerve, and Doc added this. He said it has a nerve and the ability to do it. And we know what the will of God is for us. A lot of times we think the will of God is way out there somewhere, some mystical thing. It's not. The will of God is right there in front of you. If you got a family, the will of God is for you to take care of your family.
Amen.
And love your wife. And love your husband. Raise your children. That's the will of God. You want the will of God? It says rejoice. I mean, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I mean, you want to know the will of God? There's a lot of things in the Word of God. In the will of God, it talks about the will of God. It's praying always. Always. Take your Bible, look in 2 Thessalonians. Look at this. People are looking for the will of God somewhere out it's out in the distance somewhere that we don't know what it is. Look at here. It says in 1 Thessalonians, he says in verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. For we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and that are over you in the Lord and that admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. For we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. That's what we do every Sunday. Comfort, you know, support the weak. Support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Look what it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know the will of God? There it is, right there in front of you. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. I mean, don't render evil for evil. Follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Exhort one another. I mean, warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. And that's why Paul says, I'm all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're trying to, you know what I try to do? I try to find out what people are interested in. When I'm talking to them, I try to find out what they're interested in. I was in the bank the other day. I made a girl mad. Oh, man. She got mad at me. And I went in the bank with Alex, and we're sitting there. It was an Indian girl. And I look up, and I'm looking at the thing. It says, African elephants cannot be trained, but in India, they're training. I said, yeah, them Indians, they're something else, man. And I'm saying, yeah. I said, they got all these gods. They got the little red dot. And I was getting ready to say some more, but then I looked at her. I said, and she started laughing. I looked at her. I said, are you Indian? She said, so I said, I got a gift, definitely. I got a gift to put, insert, open mouth, insert foot. And so she kept kind of laughing, but you could tell she was kind of getting angry. So when I started witnessing to her, and I said, how long have you been in this country? She said, a year. And I said, what do you think? She said, I like it. I said, good. And I said, are you saved? And she said, what? I said, are you saved? And I said, in India, they got millions of gods. I'm going through this whole thing, about me. And she's like getting irritated. She looks at Alex. She wouldn't even look at me in the eye anymore. She's looking at Alex, and I'm saying, well, look, I want to see you saved. I said, religion is not going to save you. I said, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. So I took a track out, and I handed it to her, and she put it to the side. And she's mad. She was flat out mad. She didn't want to hear it. I said, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall bow. I mean, I'm going through this thing. And she's mad as a hornet, man. And finally, when it was like over, when she didn't have to deal with me no more, she goes, all right. And she just gets up and goes off. So I go out in the foyer. I'm sitting out in the foyer. And she's looking out there. She sees me. Mark and Sheila was there. And they came out, and we're sitting in the foyer talking. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I can see her. She's just staring at me. She's mad as a hornet. But I didn't try to hurt her. I was trying to tell her about Jesus, And that you said, does that bother? I don't want to see the girl die and go to hell, but some plant, some water, God give the increase. So I remember a preacher said this. He said, you got to make people mad, laugh, or cry. And some people got to get mad before they start checking things out. And they got to get mad. I mean, you hear the gospel first, they get mad. They get mad. You tell them you're going to go to hell if you're not saved. And they get mad. But then that's the way it is. It says, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. It says, in everything give thanks. So when you're thanking God for what you have, if you come to church this morning, I hope you came with a thankful heart. You came in here and said, Lord, thank you for our church building. I know preachers, like I said, I've said Wednesday night, they're resigning their churches. They're discouraged, they're defeated because of, all kinds of other things going on. Christians are down now. But if you can come in and be thankful, I'll tell you this, I challenge you. Just start thanking God for what you have. Amen. And when you start thanking God for what you have, before long, that bad spirit that's around you is be gone. You can pick up a bad spirit being out in the world. You ride by people's houses, look at that house, man. How in the world can they afford that? Look at them cars they drive. And you get a bad spirit. And the devil says, well, if your father really loved you, he'd give you that. And the devil starts working you over. Amen. And you get a bad spirit. And what you do is you go, Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Amen. Thank you for what you've given me. Lord, I know I don't deserve nothing. I deserve to be. I mean, you start thanking him. And I'm telling you what, before long, you'll be shouting. You'll come into church and, man, you'll be in the will of God. You'll be in the will of God. You want to be in the will of God, start thanking for what you got. Amen? Amen. And that's what you need to do. And it says, quench not the spirit. Why? Because if you're not thanking him, you'll quench the spirit. You'll sit there.
just upset because you ain't got what somebody else has got. It says, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And God ain't going to sanctify you wholly unless you're thankful. He's not going to sanctify you wholly. He says, I pray God your whole spirit. There it is. There's a verse you need to underline. When somebody starts saying, you know, when you die, you die. You're going to go to the ground. It's like a dog, you know. The Bible says, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. Body, soul, spirit. You got a body. You got a soul and spirit. And it says, faithful is he that called you who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, there's one thing that we don't obey.
Amen.
We don't kiss each other on the cheek. We shake hands. Now, the European, Asians, I had a guy get mad at me here. It was Hu Jian. He got mad at me. Because his culture, greeting each other and kissing each other on the cheek. Jews do it. Italians do it. But they all do that. I mean, you know, different cultures do that. And I said this one time. I was preaching on kisses of the Bible. You know, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. I was preaching on kisses. And I said, no, I don't want nobody come up kissing me. I don't want nobody come up kissing me on the cheek. And all. I said, I've had people do it. And I don't get mad. I was somewhere the other day. I better not tell you that. But anyway. Anyway, I better not talk about that. But anyway, I was at the hospital one night, and Josh told me, he warned me, Dad, you better watch out. Arlene is in the hospital, and she's at the waiting room. And I went, okay, I'll avoid her. I'll go around, and I got around. Because Arlene, every time she'd come to church, she's a crippled lady. She's very kind of joyful, I think, in a lot of ways. And she was in the hospital that night, and I forgot all about it. Jordan was at the hospital. I came out in the waiting room, and she goes, Pastor Ryman. And I went, oh. And I turned around, and she's sitting there. And the whole waiting room was full of people. And I said, hey, Arlene, how you doing? And she goes, I've been up here for 8 hours waiting. I said, for what? I said, what are you here for? She said, anxiety. And all these people sitting there, they had their heads down. They wouldn't even look up. And I walked over to her, and Josh is standing back there, and him and Jordan. And she said, why did you tell me that you was going to charge me $1 million to marry me and my fiancé? And everybody's looking at me, that crook. You're going to charge $1 million to marry me. They're looking at me. And I went, well, I was just joking. I was joking. I'm looking around. People are just, And finally, then she says, here's my fiancé. He walks up. And he goes, look, I ain't got no teeth. And he kisses me on the cheek. I went, in the waiting room, you know. And I'm looking like this. I'm going, oh, hey, how you doing, buddy? And she goes, and she's going on, you know, and why is all these people here? I went, I don't know. They're all sick, I guess. And I mean, she's talking out loud. Everybody in the whole place here. And finally, I said, Arlene, I'll pray for you. And I'll be praying. And I prayed right then. I said, Lord, bless her. Help her. Help her and her fiance and all that. So then I turned around and walked away. She said, Pastor, you got $5? I said, well, let me, I looked in my wallet and I said, I only have a 10. She goes, that'll do. And so I said, here. And then I looked at everybody. I said, it's worth it. It's worth it. And they started laughing. But I don't know why I told you. The kiss, that's what it was. The kiss. Yeah, I paid for her kiss. Let's go back to Philippians. I can get sidetracked real easy. I get sidetracked real quick. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Where were we? Oh, yeah, here we go. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There it is. There it is. That's where people can't let go of the past.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
Can't let go of the past. You got to hold on to the past. And some people glory in holding on to the bitterness past. Now, if somebody gets right with you, somebody says, I'm sorry, Let it go. Let it go. And, you know, but I know one thing. I know when a husband and wife gets in an argument, you say, how do you know? Experience. The past comes up. The past always comes up. And if you can get past the past, that's profound. If you can get past the past, you'd be a better person if you can get past it. And what happens is the Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, if a person changes, you ought to give them the benefit of doubt. You know what we've seen in this church? We see people get saved. We see people become new men, new women in Christ. You see them get saved and they still got the old man there. It's still there. And Paul's saying that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. The old man's still there, and the old man tries to pop back up, but as long as the person's walking in newness of life, trying to get in their Bible, praying, asking God to help them control things in their life, you've got to give them the benefit of doubt and pray for them that they keep going, the past. The past is always what haunts people. That's why people take pills and drugs and all that stuff. And a lot of people like to bring up the past. And, you know, they like to talk about the past and what you've done and where you've been and all that stuff. And if I see somebody that I've known from the past, they always talk about the past. But I always talk about the new. Talk about what God's done for me, how he's been to me, how he's taken care of me. And now a lot of my past, I mean, the way back is gone. And we got some good memories. Got real good memories. It says, brethren, I count not to have myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And Paul could have let that past of his defeat him where he could have done nothing for Christ. Why? He killed Christians. I mean, he went after them. The Bible says he caused havoc for the church. And the Bible says when he got saved, the brethren wouldn't have nothing to do with him because of his past. And when Barnabas went and got him and brought him to Jerusalem and started saying, hey, I've been with him. This guy's changed. And a lot of people say, oh, ain't nobody can really change. Oh, yes, they can. I've seen hundreds of people change. And thousands of people change. I mean, the Lord changed their life and changed their attitude. They still got the old man there. One time, when Dave White came to church here and he came up to me and said, how do you keep your wife happy? And I said, I don't know, ask her. And I wasn't hauling nobody here at all, Miss Nunn, a few others. And I said, ask her. And he walked up to her and said, how does your husband keep you happy? And she thought he was some kind of pervert. She was ready to punch him in the mouth. And she said, what are you talking about? And he said, how does he keep you happy? She said, she looked at me and I said, go ahead and answer. And she said, well, as long as he's doing right, and loving God and putting the Lord first, amen, I can trust him. Amen. Long as he's doing that, I can trust him. But the old Alan Ryman, you couldn't trust. Amen. You can't trust him. I can't trust him. The new man, you can trust him. Amen. And I know Lester Olof used to say, I don't trust myself in broad daylight. And you're a wise man not to do that. I mean, trust you, because what happens is you're trusting yourself. Yeah. You better trust in the Lord. That's why the Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. And man is yourself. Don't put a lot of confidence in you. Put it in the Lord. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth. Look what it says. Not only leaving the past in the past, but going forward, forth unto those things which are before. Now, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for your life. And he's got something, man, and he's got something for everybody in this room. And what happens is a lot of times we get detoured. And a Christian will get detoured, get saved, and get detoured going off this and doing that. And that's not God's perfect will. And what you got to do is get back, get the route. You know, when you go, they got GPS now. And you got a map. You could try to find the right route to get back on the main road. And what you got to do is get back on that main road and follow what the Lord wants for your life. And you do, you get past the past and go forward and try to get back on the main thing, make it the main thing, the main thing. And get back serving God where it should be. Or if you never have been there, then get there. Amen? And it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then he says, I press towards the mark. You're talking about pressing, brother. You're talking about, you know, bench pressing, lifting weights, pressing. You talking about pushing and trying to get something. I mean, it's going to be tough. I press towards the mark. I'm pressing. And it's not going to be easy. And whenever a guy's lifting weights and he's trying to build body build and all that, it's a press. It's a press. And it's causing friction. And it's causing friction. And when we got saved, when we were going this way, now we turn back around, we're going against the world. And it's a hard thing at times when you're going against the world. And once you get strong enough, you start getting strong enough, you can just say, go right on through and say, okay, the world ain't going to stop me. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we ought to be doing, pressing forward, going forward, pressing. And that's what this church is going. We're going to try to go forward. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to go, we want to go forward and see people saved, more people come to know Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. And we want to see you grow. And what happens is Christians, we got on Sunday morning, any given Sunday morning, you got people sitting here that just quit, they quit pressing. They're dead in the water. And when you're dead in the water, I mean, you're prey when you're dead in the water. You're easy destroyed. You can't be dead in the water. You got to either be going forward or going backwards. And some people just say, I'm just going to stay right here where I'm at. No, you ain't. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. And I always said this, God never parts waters for a Christian going backwards. He always parts waters for Christians going forwards. God's able to restore marriages. God's able to restore families. God's able to restore all these things pressing forward. And it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. I press towards the mark of the prize. There's always a prize. There's always a reward at the end. Always. My wife and I, since we've been saved, we've been pressing forward, going forward, going forward, going forward, trying to go forward. And there's times where we slow down, we back, and then we found ourselves slipping. And we keep going, pressing forward. Now we're able to enjoy the things to see God moving in our own children. We enjoy that. We enjoy seeing God moving our grandkids. We enjoy those things. Being able to be used of God and look back and say, man, God, I know I don't even deserve it. And God, you use us. The Bible says God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And really, to the world, we're foolish. Verse 15, we'll have to get through through this. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. You're striving to be perfect. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If any think that ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Paul's talking about we're being together as the church and keep pressing on and minding the same things, trying to have the same goals. Faith Baptist Church, we have the same goal, trying to see people saved, trying to live for God, trying to get other people back, get them where they can walk on their own. And it says, brethren, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And he says, brother, we're supposed to be examples for Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to live the kind of life and walk the kind of walk that we're supposed to be walking and honoring God. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies. Constantly trying to stop the work of God, constantly trying to stop and pervert the scriptures, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And we're faced with that every time we're trying to live for God. We're going to be faced with that. And Paul says, I warned you, man. I told you. You're going to find people that's enemies of the cross of Christ. And people like Brother Joe said, he was street preaching, he said, the biggest opposition they have is from other people that are saved. Right. I can't say Christians because if they're Christians, they wouldn't be in a bar. Right. They wouldn't be doing drugs if they were trying to be a Christian. They wouldn't be doing those things. But they can become enemies of the cross. They can become. And start, you know, I'll never forget John Garner said he was out street preaching one time, and this woman came up and said, you're doing it all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. And I realized some guys will do it wrong. They'll preach out of envy, strife, or hatred or whatever. But some guy, you're supposed to have a broken heart when you're out there trying to win people to Jesus Christ. You're supposed to have a man want to see people saved, not just to get out there and say, "Well, look what I did. I told them this and I told them that." That's just a babe in Christ. But you're supposed to be out there trying to see somebody get saved, get down from God. Let's see somebody get saved. Let's maybe rescue some brother and sister that's not living right, and get them under conviction by hearing the word of God. But John said, with street preaching, a woman came up, and she was right in front of him saying, "You're the enemies of the cross." And she started saying all that stuff. And John just said he couldn't get rid of her. He didn't know what to do with her. She kept on, and he finally said, "Folks, this woman is an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ." And he started pointing at her. And when he did that, she took off. Amen. She took off. We were street preaching one night in front of a bar, a black bar down in Pensacola. And I told the guys, I said, "If they come out, they're going to come after us." And it was all these black guys out there in front of the bar. It was a black bar. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. One of the guys I was with, he said he had to prove something to God, that he would stand on his own. I said, "Oh, come on, man, come on. You got to prove something to God." He was taking karate at the time, Jerry Roy. He was taking karate. He was a brown belt. And I thought he just wanted to try out his karate. And Chris Huff was driving the car, and I was in the back seat laying down. And I woke up, and they pulled in front of this on the side of the road, because Jerry said, "Pull over. We're going to preach in front of this bar." And he goes, "I got to prove something to God." I said, "Jerry, if you're getting out, we're all getting out." And he goes, "Oh, y'all stay in the car." And Chris said, "Yeah, we'll stay in the car. We'll keep it running." And I said, "No, we all get out." So it was 1 o'clock in the morning. It was stupid to be out there at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so we got out, we got on our knees, and we prayed, and they were all watching us. And they, by this time, they were, you know, the music was gone. I mean, the heathens were raging at that time. And the cops were in the parking lot. And I thought, we got some security. There's two cops sitting in the parking lot, two cop cars. So a cop car came over as they were leaving. He rode right up on the curve, and I went, "Sir, can I give you something to read, tell you about Jesus?" And the cop rolled, two cops in the front seat, or one driving, one shotgun. And he wrote, he said, "Boys, you're the wrong color in the wrong neighborhood and at the wrong time of night." And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "But the Lord's going to take care of us." I said, "Are you saved, sir?" And he went, "You're asking for it." And I said, "We're not asking for nothing, sir." I said, "We're just out here preaching the gospel." He said, "It's the wrong time of night." And he said, "We had 5 stabbings here tonight." And he said, "We're leaving. We ain't coming back." I said, "All right, Lord, take care of us." I said, "Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us." And I said, "Jerry, you done? You ready to go?" Jerry said, "No, you preach." So I preached one of them real fast, you know, a couple minutes. I'm going to preach a few minutes. And then he says, "Chris, preach." So then Chris preached. He said, "I'm going to preach again." About this time, 10 guys came across the street, bottles and everything. I said, "Meet them in the street." So we got in the street. I acted like a crazy man. I was like, "Hey, are you saved?" I mean, I was just, and dispersed them. They didn't know what to do. And then I said, "They're going to go back and regroup." And they came out. They started regrouping. And then Jerry was preaching, and that's when that big old black dude come out. It was a bouncer. He came out, and he stood out there, and they started heckling. They started mocking, and this dude started across the street. I went out in the middle of the street, tried to stop him, and I'm backing up with this guy pushing me back, and he gets in Jerry's face. Come to find out, to make a long story short, y'all have heard me tell that story, and to make a long story short, the guy was a saved man, a Baptist deacon, in a bar, bouncing. And he started crying, fell on his knees, and started crying and got right with God. So then he stood up, and he said, "Y'all go ahead and preach." He said, "Ain't nobody going to bother you." And I mean, then I heckled him. I mean, I had fun. So anyway, look at verse 18. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And he says, "Whose end is destruction." These are lost people, "whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame." That's talking about religious, "who mind earthly things." And these religious, you got religions around here that hate Bible-believing churches. They hate churches that preach the Bible. They hate churches that tell about getting saved. They hate it. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Notice our conversation's in heaven. The Bible says we're already seated in heavenly places. So everything you're saying, we're talking about, is already there. So if you're by yourself and you're talking dirty and you're talking filthy and you're doing all that, it's being recorded. Our conversation is in heaven. Or you can say, "Well, I think it means our conversation is about heavenly things. I believe our conversation is being recorded. And we're going to have to give account of our conversation. So you better be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. And we're already seated in heavenly places. All right, we'll stop right there and take about 10 minutes. All right, 10-minute break. Any questions on anything? Any questions on anything? All right, Father, thank you again today. God bless your word. Bless the service coming up. Save that soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.